The Sons of Saturday podcast is brought to you by our friends at Main Street Pharmacy. Located right on Main Street in Blacksburg, Virginia, Main Street Pharmacy is proudly owned by a Hokie family and has been a partner of this podcast since 2020. MSP offers free delivery, curbside pickup, and vaccinations as well. If you are a student or resident in the Blacksburg area, you can always trust that at Main Street Pharmacy, you are not just a number, you are a neighbor. All right, everyone. 3:29 p.m. on the Mountain Coast here. 5:29 on the East Coast in Blacksburg. We are joined. This is a milestone. This is a checkpoint on the track. This is a checkpoint across the country. We have our first ever cross country track and field Sons of Saturday overlap here, and we welcome onto the show Lindsay Butler, who looks like she's hanging out in Lane Stadium. Can we get the pan around?
Yeah, we'll get a full pan here.
There we
Look
go.
At that. They're putting the grass back down. They're ready for the fall.
Grass looks pretty good for late March. Mark your calendars if you're not going. Spring game, April 13th. Spring jam, April 12th. Big party time in Blacksburg. So, Lindsay, first and foremost, how are you? Welcome to the Sons of Saturday. It's a pleasure.
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. This has really been hyped up since the football season. I think you suggested it back in maybe October. I didn't know if it was going to happen, but here we are today. I'm pumped.
We made it happen. So we're going to kick things off here with a Hokie haiku. And even before I keep going, Lindsay, how's my audio? Is it good? Are we okay?
Sounds good. Do I sound good to you?
You sound great. We got Billy Ray's new mic here. It's got some LED lights. So
okay.
Pretty cool. So this haiku is submitted by our guy, Pete McGee. He says, Lindsay's on the move, championships in her sights, going for greatness. Lindsay, are you a poem person? Do you like poetry? Are you a haiku vibe?
You know, I never considered myself a poetry person, but that was pretty beautiful.
There we go.
That really spoke to me.
We'll have to print it out and send it to you and have Pete McGee autograph it for you. So
thank you, Pete McGee.
Wrapping up here with the indoor track season and rolling into spring outdoor track. But first of all, we're going to try to run through the Lindsay Butler accolade list. We might be here all day. It's kind of like looking at a Liz Kitley stat sheet or a Liz Kitley accolade sheet. You know, a lot going on, hard to keep track. So we might even have to confirm a few things. But just off the top, how many times have you been a first team All-American? I know at least one, but I was wondering two or three.
One, two, three, four. Five as of 2 weeks ago.
So just 2 weeks ago, Lindsay B over here picked up her fifth first team All-American honor. So that's pretty cool. Also has won several ACC championships. Also just finished seventh at Nationals in the 800 last week up in Boston. 2021 in Lindsay's sophomore season. Garnered two All-America honors and a gold medal at ACC indoors. And 2022 was a huge year for Lindsay, winning a national championship in the 800 with a winning time of 2 minutes, 1 second, 0.37. I don't know how to talk about the splits, but breaking a facility record, winning ACC Women's Track Performer of the Year, ACC Women's Scholar Athlete of the Year.
That was a big one for me.
That one, you know, I know mom and dad are happy about that one for sure. And then ACC champion in the 800 with a lifetime best and school record time of 2:01.23, which was the second fastest indoor 800 in ACC history. So, that's where I'm going to stop. I could keep going and keep going and keep going, but ultimately, we're fired up to have you on the show. And we're fired up to dip into track and field and cross country. But let's take it all the way back to the beginning. You grew up from New York. Who was your inspiration for running in track and field? How did you get your start?
So inspiration now was not my inspiration then. It was actually the reason why I was a little late into the sport. So my dad ran track at University of Maryland back when they were in the ACC in the 80s. He was a pole vaulter and a decathlete. So I kind of grew up just hearing this lore about being an ACC champ, being in the ACC, going to the conference meet. I thought that the ACC was on par with the Olympics. That's really how we talked about it, which, you know, a little weird now that I look back at it, but I get it. And then additionally, my sister ran in college. She ran at App State. So while I was in high school, I was very anti-track. I felt like it was overdone. You know, my dad did it. My sister was in college doing it. So I consider myself, you know, different. I did volleyball and lacrosse, actually went through the entire college recruiting process for lacrosse, didn't work out last second. And halfway through my junior year, kind of found myself running track. But none of that kind of would have unfolded the way it did if it weren't for the fact that I knew the success that my dad had. I was seeing the success my sister was having, and kind of thought maybe I could do something in track and field. And I mean, they both loved it. They had really positive college experiences. So I would say I fell into the sport more than I chose to do it. It's kind of almost like this lacrosse didn't choose me. So I had no other choice but to just try a different sport.
And what was it like kind of just jumping into something completely new that you hadn't really been totally engaged with or passionate about? What were the challenges, you know, back then when, you know, you go from one track, pardon the pun, that you think you're going to be going on and then just get thrown into something completely different?
At the time, as a 17-year-old, that was certainly the most devastating thing that had ever happened to me. I look back now and it was the best thing that had ever happened to me. I'll be so honest. I just don't think I was that good at lacrosse. I thought I was great at the time. But I think there was a lot of things about track that I didn't even know I really liked. My one qualm for team sports is I always hated those days when, you know, you played your ass off on the field. You played so good and you still lost because, you know, other key people on the team were having a bad day. That's not a thing in track. It's kind of an individual sport for the most part. However, with that being said, you know, the way my high school ran and how college is, and as you can see in your background, it is also a team sport. We win ACCs as a team, and that is just such a rewarding part of the sport. So it was definitely, it was different. I think, I don't know. I didn't really have time to think about what the hard parts were, what the difference was, because once I was, once lacrosse was out of the picture and I was running track, I just kind of was doing it. I was in the zone.
In the zone. So speaking of being in the zone, you eventually made it to the Southwest Virginia zone. And, you know, that probably didn't happen on accident. But walk us through your recruitment, knowing that you got a late start to track and field. How did you end up at Virginia Tech?
So kind of the way that the recruiting went, there were schools that I had made it pretty far in the recruiting process with for lacrosse. So I kind of picked up there. My dream school while I was still playing lacrosse was William and Mary. And so essentially when I started running track, the track coach said, you know, I can get you to William and Mary on their track team. I can get you a scholarship on their track team. So that's kind of where we started. That was like my goal. I wanted to go to Virginia. You know, we're talking Southeast Virginia, so I made my way over. But basically, when I started recruiting, I was like a pretty like low to mid-level D1 recruit, not really talking to any Power 5 schools. But there was a pretty big jump between the beginning of my senior year. I decided to do cross country for the first time. And that took me from being, you know, that low middle level D1 recruit. After having a pretty successful cross country season, I then became a very high level recruit. And it was actually pretty incredible. I went from, you know, thinking William & Mary and Towson and I don't even know what other schools. I thought that those were big time. The fact that I was getting reached out to them, like from them. By the end of it, I was getting, you know, very great scholarships from pretty much any school you could think of. And I mean, that was just awesome. In the end, I think Virginia Tech was one school that had reached out to me from the get-go. And that just, it meant a lot to me. Because at that time, I don't think I was really worthy of being on the Virginia Tech roster, but I think they kind of saw something in me from the start. And then I started fulfilling the prophecy. And I just never really forgot like our first phone call. And yeah, 6 years later, pretty glad I kept with them and they kept with me.
Who led the recruitment from the Virginia Tech side?
It was like the coach.
Yeah.
It was Eric Johannigmeier. So he is an assistant coach, but for the last 4 years, he's been our head distance coach.
And speaking of coaching, I know Coach Dave Schianelli. Is it Schianelli? Is that how does one pronounce
Schianelli? That's how I say it. He's never corrected me.
just received an award. What has the impact of his purview over the track and field program meant to you and meant to the rest of the folks in the program?
He's had such a crazy impact on the program. I mean, first of all, he's been here for quite some time. But he kind of took our track and field program from, you know, a little rough. We didn't have the greatest resources back then. And slowly he just really advocated for the track and field program. He did just amazing jobs like recruiting the coaches we have now and getting them to bring in great athletes. So I don't know what magic he does. I don't know how he did it, but when I hear stories from our alumni about how, you know, they never even would have dreamed about having an indoor track, I think they used to like run on some cinder track back in the day. Just the resources that Schianelli has brought to our program, I can't really wrap my head around. I think he just, I don't know, he's magic or something. But he's been really great. He doesn't like directly coach any of our athletes, but he just has his hands in like all of the directing of our program. So
puts everyone in the right position to be successful. And just since Coach Schianelli's been here since 2001, 20 NCAA individual champions, 342 All-America honors, 115 All-Americans, 4 top fives at NCAAs, 13 top tens, 21 ACC team championships. And, you know, I could keep going on and on and on. Obviously, the track and field program at Virginia Tech has been extremely successful here in the ACC. So with regards to just your schedule, you were telling me before we recorded what the schedule is from cross country in the fall, indoor in the winter, outdoor in the spring. Walk me through when you get to campus in the fall, what that looks like. What are the breaks? What's the life like? It sounds like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I think when you're in it, you're not thinking about how rigorous the schedule is. But sometimes when I take a step back and try to explain it to people on the outside, it does sound a little crazy. So we get here like the last week or end of August. And from August until mid-November, we're in cross country season. And that's like, I mean, all through the year, we're doing doubles pretty much every day. And as soon as cross country ends, mid-November, we take about a week, 2 weeks off, and we go straight into indoors. Indoors goes from beginning of December all the way through. I just finished in mid-March. And then you don't really take any time off between indoors and outdoors. You take a few days off and then you go straight into outdoors. So that's what I'm training for right now. And NCAAs is the second week of June. And now that I'm finishing up my eligibility with the Olympic trials in sight, that is 2 weeks after NCAAs. And from there, it is probably just a lot more racing through the summer to try to get solidify a good pro contract. So yeah, this year we're looking at a, I don't know, well past 4th of July. That's really upsetting for me because that's a personal favorite holiday for me. there'll be more. But yeah, it's intense, you know, doubles pretty much every day. That's not something I was expecting in high school, but it works and I enjoy it. And I like being at practice. So when you like what you do, it doesn't really seem like that much work.
If you could power rank your favorite between cross country, indoor, and outdoor, power rank them for me. And then I want to hear about the outlook on the spring, how you guys are looking and how you're feeling for the spring 2024 campaign.
Well, I, as well as probably the rest of my team, would rank cross country and dead last.
I wouldn't
put it third. Like, it's just so far down there. And I would put spring track, outdoor track, I would put that second, and indoor track definitely first. We, as you can see in the background, we have a pretty solid run, winning indoor ACCs, not to mention we get to host every few years. So you kind of can't beat that. It is pretty awesome. And as far as, outdoor track goes, we'll see how it shapes out. I think it's looking pretty good. I think every year we go into, even this indoor season, we went in thinking, it's going to take a lot to win. We might not be able to do it this year. We don't have the numbers. But lo and behold, we got first place. I think it was, we scored 92 points with however many girls are in that picture, something like 19 girls, which is just a record low number of girls for each girl was averaging. I don't know what that comes out to. I'm put on the spot for math. Around
probably like 4.5. Yeah, 4 or 5. I don't know. 4.5, 4.3. We'll do the math later.
It's tough to give a projection how the outdoor season's going to go because I think we're big about ACCs. We really will come in the underdogs and we will have some ACC magic and pull something out of our ass. So let's say projection is good. Projection is great.
Projection is great. I'm excited to tune in here this spring. So, you know, want to hear, I brought up 2022. And for those who don't know the story, you know, would love to give you an opportunity to share what happened firsthand. You know, winning that national championship and, you know, kind of everything that happened after that. So the floor is yours. Like, tell us what happened, you know, you got semifinals on one day, you got, you know, the next day you power through, but what's the firsthand account of winning that national championship?
Well, overall, awesome. But yeah, so it was my junior year, going into meet, I was the number one seed. Which was my second year in a row of going in as number one seed. The year before, did not win. Wasn't too upset about it because it was my first NCAAs. It's kind of a lot to take on. But I kind of went into the weekend. I was in just fantastic shape. The weekend before had kind of ran my own race and ran a school record. So I knew it was in there. So I run the prelims. I'm feeling good. I cruise into a qualification for the final. And I was on my cool down after the prelim. You know, I know I have a day till the final, 24 hours. And I start feeling this like serious pain in my foot, which is really unfortunate because everything leading up to that, I'm like, this is my weekend, baby. I think this might be like an easy win. Foot starts hurting. I'm a little nervous. I'm kind of brushing it off because, you know, you kind of get to a point in the season where things are going to hurt. You just kind of got to power through it. Like the fitness is already there. But through the next 24 hours, kind of the pain progresses. We go from like, oh, my foot hurts to, oh, I can't run. I can't even walk right now. But, you know, finals, we made it this far. We got to make it to the finals. And my coach even made a joke of, we're talking about the race plan for the final. And he says like, well, you say your foot's hurting. It's not broke, is it? I go, well, no. And he goes, all right, so we're running this final. Like, let's go. You got this. And so, you know, I go into the final. I'm a little nervous, but I'm just excited. Like, I had worked all season for this. The gun goes off. There's this one girl from Kennesaw State. She goes guns a-blazing, goes through the 400 halfway, a good probably 3-4 seconds ahead of the field. And I think a lot of people thought, you know, that it was game over for Lindsay Butler once more, but, I kind of hunted her down through the next two laps and ended up, winning with a pretty good gap. And it was pretty awesome. I think in the moment, I didn't really realize how big of an achievement it was because, you know, it was my second year being the number one seed. I kind of felt like it was inevitable that, you know, this is something I was needed to do. Shortly after winning is when I got my MRI and I found out that I had a stress fracture. And that shut me down for 8 weeks. This is probably 2 weeks after the national championship. So that's when I, you know, God gave me some really great time to really soak in the win and think about how special it was. But yeah, that started a long year of coming back to the track. But overall, I mean, it was electric. I was in the shape of my life. I was feeling confident. And I mean, when you're in that mindset, like nothing's going to stop you. A hurt foot, hurt knee, hurt back, whatever it is. You made it that far. You best just keep going.
Couple of thoughts here. First of all, you had your Michael Jordan flu game, essentially.
Yes.
Let me just go out here and, you know, run and win a national championship on a stress fractured foot, right? And also second metatarsal, is that what it was? One of them?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
I was reading up and the only reason I know what that word means is because my dad, who played soccer at Tech, before his junior year was on a run in the woods, just like conditioning before the season started. And he fractured his fifth metatarsal, fractured metatarsal, club there. But yeah. Now going, you know, so coming off of that, first of all, winning a national championship, absolutely incredible. And then coming off of that into the next year, I know that it's an extreme amount of adversity that you had to fight with so many challenges, but what was your mindset coming back at the beginning of the 2023 season versus what did you learn after the season about yourself by the time the season was over?
I think going into it, I knew that I had like all the talent that I needed to go and do a repeat, whether it be indoors or outdoors. I think looking back, I definitely felt a lot of pressure that I had to repeat. And that led to definitely a lot of disappointment through my 2023 indoor and outdoor season. I think I definitely underestimated it. It is hard. When you're coming back from injury, it is tough to get back into the shape you spent multiple years getting into. And, you know, now I'm on the other side of it now, and I look back and, yeah, I wish I put way too much pressure on myself to go get another national title, which, you know, in the meantime, that year I PR'd by 10 seconds in the mile, which is a pretty solid number. PR'd in just about every other event except for the 8. And I really think it just goes back to, like, I had so much, I just thought I had to win. And if I didn't win, that was going to be a letdown. And so I'd be in these races with these pro runners, girls that had been at the Olympics, and something would just kind of click off and would not speed up when it was time to hit the gas. But I think it was important. I think now that I'm on the other side of it, I see a lot of similar situations, whether it be other girls or guys in the sport, or even, you know, other people in Virginia Tech that are kind of coming back from their injuries in their sports. My heart kind of goes out for a lot of them, because I know the mindset when you're in it. And now that I'm on the other side, it's just, yeah, it's not the best, not the best mindset.
Well, you came back and you won some more hardware last week. Yes. Another ACC championship in your, I guess, another ACC championship feather in your cap there, Lindsay. So, you know, with coming back from this injury too, and just want to hear overall feedback about the team culture that you experience within the program. You know, it's the gold standard in the ACC and probably something that's not as appreciated in the Virginia Tech athletics and fan communities that should be, you know, from track and field. What has made this program so successful for so long?
Well, for one, definitely Shinelli. I again, whatever magic he's putting around there, like, I think first and foremost it's that. But with that, I think, so, you know, we've got 20 ACC team titles, you know, all those top 5 team finishes, and you say that and it's just like, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, somebody has to have the other 20 or 40 that exist out there. But I think Virginia Tech is very special in the sense that, I know plenty of very great, successful programs that can't go into the ACC championship saying, guys, this is for the team. We could win as a team. We need to come together to score as many points as we can for the team. There's a lot of great programs out there, like UVA. They would never even dream of winning a team title. And I think that it really adds something to these races. And it's a big reason why, like, pretty much all my 800 PRs lie in an ACC race. I remember last year, indoor ACCs, I did not have the races I was hoping for. I was very disappointed. But we ended up winning last second the team title. And it just... I could have cared less in that moment what I ran in my own races. We won as a team, and that was just the most, like, special and amazing experience, especially after this interview. If you want to go back and see the Duke women's 4x4 dropping the baton at the finish, it made it on a ESPN top 10 or something later that week. It was pretty awesome. Shout out to Duke for getting disqualified so we could win. Yeah, I think, like, that culture just kind of built on itself. And it's a culture that not a lot of other teams can really replicate. Not a lot of teams can even dream of kind of having the depth across the board that we do, whether it's distance, sprints. We've got great pole vaults, great throws, great jumps. It's tough to be this well-rounded, specifically in the ACC.
This episode of the Sons of Saturday podcast is brought to you by The River Course. And look, we talk about greatness all the time. And when you talk about golf, Pebble Beach, Augusta, Bandon Dunes, dare I say Shinnecock, the River Course sits squarely in the middle of this conversation. A top 10 college course in America, according to Golf Digest, and the home for the For Those to Come golf tournament. And look, if you head on down there and you mention Sons of Saturday, we got some hookups for you. 50% off appetizers. Who doesn't like appetizers? 10% off of headwear and apparel at the golf shop. I mean, get yourself a new outfit, feel good, look good, play good. And the cream of the crop, new annual student memberships will receive a free cart fee, and new adult memberships will receive a free foursome plus a complimentary lunch. The River Course, unparalleled greatness, unparalleled beauty, nestled right in Southwest Virginia.
Hey guys, this is Ollie Jennings III, wide receiver for your Virginia Tech Hokies. When I committed to Virginia Tech football, I committed to the best. That's why I chose Harvey's GM in Radford. Why settle for less when you can have the best? Go to Harvey's GM for all of your vehicle needs. Tell them Ollie sent you. That's Harvey's GM, Tyler Ave in Radford, or go to their website at harveysgm.com for more info.
Absolutely. So we're going to roll in here. Actually, one more question before rolling into to rapid fire. I've noticed, a lot of people have noticed that you've been crushing NIL, whether it's, showing up at Renew and Restore Wellness, our friends up there, doing some cryotherapy or red light, saw a CVS ad. I know when we saw you over the course of the fall, we talked about, hey, let's link something up with Benny's. So, that still needs to be teed up, of course, but, overall highlights, thoughts on being able to squeeze the juice out of the NIL lemon here over the next few months before you graduate.
As I've said before the interview, I'm trying to get every last drop that I can. It is just, it's an amazing opportunity. I think we're so lucky to have that. Just the fact that, you can make money off of just, I love Renew and Restore Wellness. I'm not making money off of their, off of advertising them, just services, but I love them. I would do that on my own dollar to let people know about, what's going on over there. So I think for a while, I was a little nervous to use the social media to do the promoting, but now I'm realizing, what else is my social media for? I might as well just use it to spread the good word, to spread the gospel of NIL companies that want to pay me. I think that's amazing.
What are some other NIL opportunities that you would love to, if there's any businesses around Blacksburg or any national businesses, you're like, hey, Lindsay Butler has the spotlight. Who do you want to get connected with? Maybe we'll try to work something out.
Oh, man. Well, any of my friends will tell you that I am such a CVS lover. So first and foremost, that CVS NIL deal, I would have done it for free. Luckily, I did get paid. I don't know. Kroger seems like a pretty logical one. I'm there like every single day of the week. if Mr. Kroger, if you are watching this, let's make a deal.
Mr. Kroger, we can't say we're going to vouch for you on the CVS thing. This is a Main Street Pharmacy podcast. Hopefully Jeremy is not listening to this part of the interview, but,
Jeremy.
Or maybe we'll hook you up with Jeremy. How about that?
I'd love to meet him.
but Mr. Kroger, if you are listening, we are ready to tease something up here. All right, now let's have some fun. Rapid fire here as we close things out before letters from the lunch pail. Dinner with four people, dead or alive. Who you taking and where you going?
Oh, man. All right. We're going to... Oh, that's a tough one. I guess we're going to Downstairs Cellar. That's a special place to me.
Great.
And you know, Pat, you can come. I'm bringing, obviously, Shinelli, naturally. I want to treat him before his retirement. You know, just because I'm a track runner, maybe I'll say Steve Prefontaine. I don't know, last one. Machine Gun Kelly. I think he would really enjoy Blacksburg, and I just love him so much.
Machine Gun Kelly. I think I know a couple of his songs. I know his weird I Am Weed reference with Megan Fox. That was interesting. But
yeah, great. He loses me a little bit, but if you that I think he's so beautiful.
Okay, fired up to meet him in the downstairs of the cellar. Should be a good time. Maybe we'll get some euros. Favorite spot in town for a bite? I guess the cellar's on that list, but any other spots around Blacksburg? Ooh,
cellar, downstairs cellar, always reliable. Maroon Door has been pretty good recently. Naturally, Benny's, love it. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I like those three.
There you go. Outside of the facilities, where do you like to run around campus or around town?
I really like New River Trail is out in, well, it's like a 70-mile trail, so you can really get it there from anywhere. But it's out in Pulaski, Virginia. Really pretty. Good views right along the river. Lots of cows if you're into that kind of stuff. Nice. Would definitely recommend it.
What is one thing that Blacksburg needs that it does not have right now?
A Trader Joe's. So easy. So simple. So easy. Sorry, Mr. Kroger.
If you could vote for the mayor of Blacksburg, whether it's someone in your friend group, someone in athletics, or just someone around town, who would you vote for?
Oh, gosh. I mean, naturally me. Why would I not want to run the place? I already did back in the day. Let's just make it official.
Let's do it. I mean, you could run for mayor. I got to put the running puns to this. Yeah, I'm so sorry. What do you think about when you're running?
Depends on the type of run. If it's an easy run, that's thinking time. That's when you think about what you got to do today, what you did today, what you got to do tomorrow. I would say when I'm racing, it goes blank. Something in there, it just shuts off. I guess maybe the main thing when you're racing is just thinking about not getting tripped and not slowing down. I'm trying to speed up if you can. Not a lot going on in the brain.
Yeah, not a lot going on. What? Which running profile are you? And I'm going to give you three. Forrest Gump, Rocky running to the steps, or Will Ferrell in Old School streaking through the quad?
You know, I would say I'm more Rocky, but I think maybe some guys on my team might be Will Ferrell. There is a running route if people are interested, right off of campus. It's called Ass Out, for obvious reasons. If you're driving a certain area on 460, look to your right, I guess, and you might see a little something going on over there.
There you go. We love the hidden traditions of the
also sorry if I'm not supposed to say that word.
I mean, this is fine. This is okay. Fine. Say whatever you want. This is for the common folk out there who may have played another sport but used running to condition. What is your mile PR time?
Mile PR is a 4:31. 1600, which is just short of a mile by 9 meters, is 4:29. I like that number better.
Wow. So sub, wow. Okay. Cool. That's really good.
what's your mile PR?
My mile PR, I think, is 5:45. My two mile PR is like 11:20.
That is even more respectable, actually.
11:20 or 11:25. High school Cooper test, 2 miles in 12 minutes was what we were supposed to beat. So,
hey, yeah. I'll give it to you. That's pretty impressive.
It's been a long time since I've been anywhere close to that. But maybe this spring we'll open some doors and get back out there. Last rapid fire question. We usually say when the ball stops bouncing. Obviously, we cannot say that in this context. So when the rubber stops hitting the road, what are Lindsey Butler's post-athletic career aspirations?
Well, Lindsey Butler is a woman in STEM. I have my undergrad degree in engineering, and I'm getting my master's in information technology. So I intend to use it. I suffered for 4 years, and I want to get something out of that degree. So I'm going to work in the engineering field and live probably in Virginia Beach. I'm going to be tan. I'm going to be fit, and I'll be making that STEM money.
Let's go.
I feel very strongly about that.
Let's go. Love it. Love it. All right. Letters from the lunch pail. Got a few more here, Lindsey, and then we'll let you run. From Pete McGee.
There you go again.
Pete McGee has two. What are some non-running activities that you implement to be at your best?
Non-running. Well, kind of running, but not running. I do a lot of swimming and biking in practice, but I feel like that doesn't really count because that's still practice-oriented. I'm a big beach volleyball player. Also, you know, in the off-season, love a good game of Dai. Big fan.
Hey, you know, you get a good game of Dai, you're fine. It's the off season. I know the off season's not very long, but yeah, you got to make.
And you can always play with water or Gatorade.
Exactly, and that's what we were.
Yes, that is what we're talking about.
Of course, Pete McGee. Other than staying hydrated, what food or meal do you credit most for helping you perform well? We love the diet questions.
Well, eating enough is the most important thing. A lot of red meat, you know, there's a lot of iron deficiency in the sport. You got to get those steaks in, more steaks, steak again. I don't even know what another red meat is. I have steak one to two times a week. That is, that's what's keeping the iron up.
I was going to say, if you like running that new River Valley Trail, you'll see a lot of cows. If you spend time at West End, you'll eat a lot of London broil. I'm sure.
Yes. I was raised on London broil. I lived in Cochrane freshman year.
Oh man, I miss it. All right, and then I have three questions that we can wrap up with. I saw that you have a deep-rooted rivalry with Clemson. Are there any good scoops or stories there, or is that behind closed doors?
No, I don't think that's behind closed doors. Essentially, and I feel shame to say this, Clemson was one of my top picks when it came down to my like final three. Sadly, at the time, it was over Virginia Tech, but I came to the light. Essentially, they were my top pick. I kind of got the vibe from the coach that maybe I wasn't a like large scholarship athlete. So before I took my official visit, I kind of said, hey, I don't know if I should take an official visit here. I need money to come here. I don't think you're going to give me money. And they said, oh, no. You are our top recruit. I said, sweet. Okay. So I go do the visit. I have my one-on-one with the head coach. And he had this board behind him, and it had a name of the athletes he was recruiting. And he kind of sits me down and he's like, you know, this girl runs this time. This girl runs this time. And this girl runs this time. And you don't run those times. And you probably won't. But that's why I can't give you a blah, blah, blah scholarship. And I remember sitting there and just being like, oh, why am I here? I left that visit, kind of crossed Clemson off the list. And it was like the second best decision I ever made next to coming here. Because you know, since then, we've beat Clemson a couple times, and it feels really good. But yeah, that's the beef. Surely the coach is a great guy every other day of the week, but that day he was definitely hurt my feelings a little bit.
Somebody kept receipts and somebody used that as motivation. And I love that you shared that.
Yeah.
Screw him. You meet someone that hates running, and a lot of people hate running. What is your sales pitch to that person?
I think maybe people just hate it because it's really hard to get into. And it's really unenjoyable when it's really hard. But if you give it 2 weeks and you still hate it, even when it gets easier, I mean, that's on you, but, I think it's a great pastime. It's enjoyable. It's like a very social sport. So yeah, you just don't like it 'cause it's hard. Toughen up a little bit. The world's hard.
Lindsay, we love the opportunity to get you on the pod and have your personality come out. And it's been a ton of fun. So as you ride into the sunset, you know, you have tons of accolades here at Virginia Tech, and you've certainly made your impact on Blacksburg and on Hokie Nation. But, you know, as you go into your final season here in the spring, what is your message to Virginia Tech and Hokie Nation in specific?
I don't know. I just love it here. This has been, the four years were so great that I had to do five. And I don't know. I just love this place. I love everything about Blacksburg. I love everything about being a Hokie. I love just how proud people are to be a part of, you know, the town and the school. So just a big thank you. I mean, I'll always be a Hokie, and I'll surely be back a lot even when I'm graduated and done with this place.
So you're going to take the Pat and Billy Ray route, which is totally fine. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you back in Blacksburg after things conclude here. But Lindsay, rock and roll. Appreciate having you on the show. And we'll have to tee up that Benny's partnership with you.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Time to wander, tripping in the sand. We smoke out windows, drink till we can't stand. But I saw you dance like you want to in my head. And all that she said is, oh, I know just what you're thinking. Please don't let us let it sink in. Trash my friend's place, wake up the next day. Take a hit.